This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. So I'm going to expand on the point I made at the end of last hour about the stakes of the game. And actually, it's kind of, we're going to have like a vague historic discussion about it. We'll talk about how they're selling revenge. We'll get to more emails. Democrats are finally being forced to back off the tranny stuff. All that, we're going to try to stuff all that in this final bag in hour three of Monday's show. So, in case you're just now joining us, which I can't imagine why you'd just now be joining us in hour three, but in case you're just now joining us, a guy wrote an email and he said, hey, aren't you worried if they take over, they're going to arrest all these people. They're already talking about it. They're going to do all these terrible things. And okay, all that stuff's fair, but you know something I've always found to be so fascinating about history? Something you see over and over and over and over and over again, and I just think the whole thing is so fascinating. This. There is a competition for the throne somewhere. And it's all over the place. Maybe the king died, maybe whatever, but there is a competition for the throne. And people, higher up people, important people in society, will back a certain horse for the throne. I want King Chris. And the other side says, no, I want King Corey. Except, this is the ancient world. And if you back King Corey and King Chris wins, you're going to die. And probably everyone you care about is going to die. That is not an abnormality in history. For so much of the history of mankind, when there was any kind of a competition for the throne, any kind of it, people would join a side, and they would join a side with the full knowledge that, yes, if your guy wins, you're probably going to make it out just okay. It'll be a new, the ancient version of a new mansion and a private jet and steak dinner and everything you want. Yeah, the rewards are big if you win, but man, you really better win. Because if you lose, you're going to die. And everyone you know about is going to die. You see this story play out time and time again, everywhere. China, the Mongols in Persia, all the various kings and monarchies in Europe, the tribal peoples in Africa, all over the globe. That's how the power game worked. When there's a fight for the throne, you win or you die. I think that's a Game of Thrones line, but it's true. No, I think it actually goes, when you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. That's real. That's how it's always worked. You win or you die. But don't you, in some way, don't you admire the people who chose to play the game? Because, like I said, this wasn't normal people like you or me. Depending on the country, and obviously the official titles are going to change because of the span of time and how many different cultures and what there are, but these are basically United States senators staking a claim. King Chris. King Chris is my guy. Never King Corey. Governors. Law enforcement. Quote, important people staking a claim. I'm on team Corey. King Corey, never King Chris. And putting a claim down with the knowledge they're going to die, oftentimes very painfully, if their guy loses. Maybe I'm just weird. I don't know. You know what a history fan I am. I've always thought those power plays are so fascinating, and I've always admired the people who chose to play the game. because especially for important people, powerful people, let's say you're a Roman senator during the time when Julius Caesar and his army, he's squaring off against Pompey Magnus and his army, and everybody knows, Caesar knows if he loses, everyone on his team's going to die and he's going to die. And Pompey Magnus knows if he loses, everyone on his team's going to die. And if you're Brutus, you're going to die. And these people are going to die. But there were a lot of Roman senators. How many Roman senators just kind of sat it out? They have a mansion. I've got a wife. I've got kids. If you're Roman, you probably have slaves. You have all kinds of things. I'm not going to risk that by choosing a side. I'm going to sit it out. You and me. We have chosen to play the game. And we understand what the stakes are.
There are so many different corrupt sycophants within the Trump administration, including but not limited to within the Department of Justice. Now, these people don't have immunity. And the reality is the statute of limitations is 5 years, and there will be accountability with the next administration, if not before, when Democrats take back control of the House of Representatives.
That's the most powerful Democrat in the House of Representatives. Putting it on camera, put a stamp on it. It's coming. At least we're playing the game. But it's scary. It is. It is. This stuff is important, though, because it determines the kind of world your children and my children are going to live in. It determines the kind of America we're going to leave behind. You have chosen, I've chosen to not be neutral. I will not be neutral. I'm in the game. The stakes are high. I find it exciting sometimes. Jesse, if the scumbags who stormed that church in Minnesota are charged with violating the FACE Act, aren't charged, you mean, then we have no country or rule of law. I'm surprised church security let it happen. Well, look, Harmeet Dhillon already said she's honest.
We will pursue charges in this case. I see various crimes that have occurred. Exactly what they are, I'm not going to flag, but the FACE Act has been mentioned as one of the predicates there. In other cases, the Biden DOJ used the Klan Act conspiracy charges tacked on to the FACE Act in the case of protests outside abortion clinics to bring much longer sentences. So there are a number of tools available to us.
Maybe you've been screaming today. Maybe you were already screaming last night. Why are there no charges? Why is nobody arrested? That's very fair, given the lack of action we've seen in past years from Republicans. However, Harmeet Dhillon is outstanding. When she says she's on it, she's on it. You're not going to have charges on a Monday, and it's Martin Luther King Day, so every one of these government employees is off today anyway. They said charges are coming. So charges, I hope, are coming. I think they're coming. Let's hope. Anyway, all right. So I wanted to touch on this because there are a couple stories out there. This email said, Jesse, I had a moment today where I understood why groups of people harbor grudges for generations. I won't be able to talk to a Democrat without feeling on guard the rest of my life. And if I had kids, I know I would pass that suspicion on to them. I can only imagine if we were in an all-out war, how many generations would be needed to forget what was done? Do you think this is how much of the country feels, or just us who take it personally? His name is Craig. Well, there's an article out, and there's some audio out. Headline, Mamdani, New York City Mayor Mamdani, chief equity officer, disparaged liberal white women and now deleted ex posts. She said things like, tax them to the white meat. It's lovely. Really, really lovely. We heard from this lady in California. This is Kara Swisher. She's talking about the billionaires who are fleeing California ahead of the proposed wealth tax.
I have two minds of this. One is, and I said it to one this weekend, I said, you made all your money in California, you ungrateful piece of you could figure out a way to pay more taxes, and we deserve the taxes from you.
Couple things. They're always just selling revenge. They're selling revenge. And to your point, historical wrongs, atrocities, real ones or imagined. They don't have to be real. They can be passed down, and they result historically in some of the worst man-on-man atrocities in the history of mankind. And it is sad to watch America devolve into this. I don't cheer for it. I'm assuming you don't cheer for it, but it's where we are. Now, let's do something good really quickly, shall we? All the things we talk about all the time, winners and losers and politics and things like that. How often do we take care of widows and orphans? We're supposed to take care of widows and orphans. We've been commanded to take care of widows and orphans. Tunnel to Towers takes care of widows and orphans. It's what they do. When that firefighter dies in training, he gets a little article in the local paper and people are sad, maybe even show up to his memorial, and then you go on, you move on, you forget. I forget. Tunnel to Towers doesn't forget. When you and I move on, Tunnel to Towers is there providing homes for these people, paying off mortgages. When veterans are catastrophically injured, Tunnel to Towers doesn't forget, like you and I do. They're there building smart homes for them. Help them. $11 a month is all they've ever asked. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Monday. So before we get back to the politics, I just have to tell you a little story. And this is a story to back up something that I've told you before about me, but maybe you thought I was joking. Maybe you didn't take me seriously. I have told you before that I feel like I could have been an excellent secret agent of some kind. What, Chris? I know people think I'm kidding because they'll automatically bring up my height. Oh, you're 6'8", and all that other stuff. You don't understand how much I blend in and how quietly I move through the world. It's almost like I glide. You ever seen one of those? What, Chris? You ever seen one of those ghost movies where the ghost, it's like he's 6 inches above the ground and he's just kind of moving over the floor without touching the floor? That's how I move. You don't believe me? Ask Ob. I frighten her all the time. I jump scare her essentially all the time in the house. I'm not even doing it on purpose. And she always accuses me of doing it on purpose when I just am so naturally ninja-like. I will walk in. I'll walk clear across the house. I'll walk into the bathroom when she's in the bathroom doing her makeup or with creams or whatever stuff they do. I haven't been trying to be quiet. I'll walk in and say, hey, Ob. And you're like, ah, I didn't hear you coming. I honestly, it's to the point where I feel bad. I can't help it. I've considered wearing a bell around my neck or something so I can let normal people know I'm there because I'm blending in. And it just happened right before the show. I meant to tell you at the beginning of the show, but it just happened. On my life, I'm not making any of this up, okay? So in the studio here, there's this little nerdy producers area where Chris and Corey sit with all their computer stuff and buttons. There's a big piece of glass between them and me. When they want to talk to me, they have to talk into my headphones. And then there's my area where I do the radio and TV show. Remember, I have a TV show on the first every night. So it's this, it's a room, just a normal room, size of your bedroom, but there's cameras and lights and all kinds of stuff all over the place, all around me. But there's another room here in the office. Just a room. Probably a bigger bedroom, you would call it, but just a room. What's in there? There's a table, couple chairs. That's where we had Little Caesars today. Couple chairs. And then there's a couch in there. The couch is where I'll grab a little napsky. You know, I'm a top five napper. I'll sit and relax on the couch while thinking up new ideas for the world famous Jesse Kelly show. Right before the show started, I was sitting in there on the couch. I was on my phone, just kind of checking out the latest news stories. I don't ever want to be behind on what's going on and stuff like that. So I'm on my phone, checking things out, verifying a couple things, grabbing some extra sound. Clean and Mighty walks in to not just the studio, to that room, to that office. She walks in, starts cleaning out the trash can. She is 10 feet from me. 10 feet from me, maybe. I said, what did I say exactly? Oh, that's what I said. I said, I'm leaving. I just stood up and said, I'm leaving, because I didn't want to be in her way. She about jumps out of her skin and turns, and then she starts laughing because I freaked her out so bad. She had no idea I was there. It was like, and I did this on accident. I sat in the couch, and I became the couch. What, Chris? What? No, Chris said a very misogynistic thing just now. He said it's just women because they have bad survival instincts. Women have superior survival instincts to men because they're smaller with weak wrists. Chris, they have much better intuition when someone's a bad guy, things like that. So it's not just that I continue to do this. I do this to the people who have the highest possible level of awareness. And this is me doing it on accident without any superior training. Imagine how deep could I penetrate the Chinese intelligence network if I were to try? I could probably get named the head of the Chinese intelligence division. I could. You don't think I could, but I could. I'm one of those guys who can just walk into a secure nuclear facility and walk out with the nuclear codes, and nobody will ever know I was there. I don't do this on purpose. Some things are God-given. That's all I'll say. We'll continue on some politics next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, what happened to the doors? I thought we talked last week about getting more doors in here, and then you complained about their drug use, and I said, well, find a band that didn't, and then we just kind of dropped it. We have not heard the doors one time since. I like the doors. Do I not like Greta Van Fleet? It's fine. It's fine. It's not the doors. Can we hear some doors here? This person, it's not often I agree with her, but this is Rashida Tlaib, and I want to give her credit for
this. Look at this. We'll have our home again.
She's referencing a Department of Homeland Security tweet or social media post, and it's just talking about deporting foreigners, and she's holding it up and she's upset, but she does make a great point.
Look at this. We'll have our home again. What does that evoke in you when you see this? It literally, when I see it as a Muslima, as a Palestinian, as a child of immigrants, I see that this is something that is evoking, like, I'm not welcome here.
Yes. Yes. You're finally getting it. I'm so happy we're finally on the same page. Yes, you're getting this completely. 100%, yes. Rashida Tlaib, I want you to know I find this so exciting. We don't have very much in common, but we are finally on the same page about something. You're not welcome here. We don't want you here. We want you to be denaturalized and deported. And in fact, hold on. It goes beyond that. Your whole family, too. Everybody you know. In fact, if you've ever worked for or with Rashida Tlaib, we don't want you here either. This is awesome. This is wonderful that they're finally starting to get it. I honestly heard this. I was so excited.
We'll have our home again. What does that evoke in you when you see this? It literally, when I see it as a Muslima, as a Palestinian, as a child of immigrants, I see that this is something that is evoking, like, I'm not welcome here.
Yes. And what's more, and this is important, Rashida, now that we're together on something, this is important. I want you to tell some of your friends, too. Sri Tandahar, he went on Fox News. He said this.
And you couldn't stand for them because you were playing politics. Is that right? I want this audience
to know. Look, I would not stand for this president. I would not stand for this president.
We don't want him here either. Please, don't that Rashida, hold on. I don't want to be offensive. I don't want you to think that that only applied to you. There are so many millions more just like you. We also don't want them here either. It's wonderful. This person, this is Casey Jama. She's a state rep or state senator or something like that out of Oregon. I don't know. You can't ever tell because of these names. Anyway, this guy.
Let me say to this federal agencies and ICE. This is Oregon. We do not need you. You're not welcome. And you need to get the hell out of our community.
He's not welcome here either. In fact, we'll just go ahead and expand this. It's not just him. It's not just his family. It's not just everybody he knows. Everybody from his clan. All of them. Every single one. Round them all up and send them all back to Somalia. I'm glad it's finally getting through. You're not welcome here. Ilhan Omar.
The one place where we thought we would never experience this is the U.S. goddamn states.
Communist. Her father was a war criminal in Somalia. Plucked out of a living hell. Brought to the greatest country in the world. Gets elected here. Somehow, wonder how, finds a way to get really rich here. Now she sits in Congress. Now she sits with a great deal of power and regularly craps on the country. But she's not welcome here either. I'm so, so happy that the message is finally starting to get through. If you are listening right now to the sound of my voice, and maybe you kind of like communism. Maybe you kind of hate America, Americans. Maybe you're starting to get the feeling you're not welcome here. You're correct. You're not welcome here either. We don't want you here. Is that crystal clear for everybody? I just want to make sure that's totally clear. Was music to my ears.
We'll have our home again. What does that evoke in you when you see this? It literally, when I see it as a Muslima, as a Palestinian, as a child of immigrants, I see that this is something that is evoking, like, I'm not welcome here.
Yes. 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 Hey, Jesse, with your love of history, you should start collecting ancient coins. It's my lifelong obsession that turned into a full-time job for 30 years now. I was complaining last week about not having hobbies, and I got some good suggestions. This is one of the better suggestions. I am never going to do this, ever. And do you know why I'm never going to do this? Because I would bankrupt my family. I walked into this is when we went to Israel, Chris. I walked into an ancient,
ancient collection type place. They had everything you could imagine historically there. Everything you could imagine. We're talking Roman coins, like everything you can imagine. And I bought from this store something from, I won't go into all the details of it, but it was something from the 7th century, they think. 7th century? I got that right, Chris, if I remember right, 7th century. And I can't believe how much they charged me for it. And all it did was create in me a desire to buy more things. I can't do anything with the coin. It's a coin. Just put it in a safe deposit box. What am I going to do with it? Leave it sitting out on the dresser for someone to steal? So I may never see it again. I bought it. It's now put away in a safe deposit box, and it's not like I can play with it. It's not a gun or a G.I. Joe or something. It's a coin, and I love it, and I want more of them. If I start getting into this, you have to understand I have an obsessive personality, and there are times where that works out really well for me and for you. You love it when I find some history topic and I just go completely full nerd for a couple weeks and then boom, we're talking history for hours and hours and hours. It can work out well. It can also be a disaster. What, Chris? Chris said they're not all 7th century coins. I understand, but already, I want a case, Chris. I want a display case, and I want to be able to have it up in the house. And I have already decided that I want coins from the American Revolution, and I want Egyptian coins from 3,000 years ago, and I want ancient Chinese coins. And I want to know, do we have some sort of a currency that the Cherokee Indians used? And I went, like, I want all the coins already. And if I do it, I will bankrupt my family, and so I refuse. I'm going to find some other hobby. All right. The tranny issue's not going well for him. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Headline, this is from Axios. Dems potential 2028 contenders are cautious on trans rights. I'm not going to go through the whole article. It's all of them. It's Gavin Newsom. It's Josh Shapiro. Even old Mayor Pete's getting in on the whole thing. They're all a little cautious on the whole thing. And remember, I told you about this. This is going to be the ultimate tightrope. And they're going to message it this way. They're going to play dumb. I just don't understand it. Newsom does that very well. They're going to play dumb, and they're going to kick it to local jurisdiction so they don't have to take a stance on it. The Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg did that. He's done it a couple times in interviews. They've asked him, hey, what about the trans stuff? What about? And he'll say, we want parents to have control. It really should be up to the school. Now, everyone knows why the issue is not popular. Democrats foolishly took an issue that it's not even 80-20. It's a 90-10 with the general public. And they chose the 10% portion of it, which is one of the biggest bonehead political moves of all time. It's understandable why they're going to try to back away from it. Now, the problem for Democrats is twofold. They have two problems. First problem is this. You're the Rear Admiral, you want to run for president. You're Gavin Newsom, you want to run for president. J.B. Pritzker, whoever, you want to run for president. And you understand that the primary is one thing, but it's going to be difficult to walk into the Oval Office being the pro-tranny guy in the year 2028. That's just, the general public's not really going to be on board. So you can't be that guy and be elected president. But you and I both understand something. There's going to be 15 Democrats running for president. Every time there's a Republican primary or a Democrat primary now, because it has become good for the brand, you're going to get everybody throwing their hat in the ring, even when they don't have a chance, because even if you just qualify to show up for one debate on national TV, your brand will be bigger after that. So even if you lose, even if you get 1% of the vote, 2% of the vote, it's good for the brand. Think about Dome. Dome got 1% or 2% of the vote in the presidential primary, and she ended up spending 4 years as vice president of the United States of America. She never gets that gig without running for president. There are no negatives. Yeah, you got to do some more travel. It's all five-star travel, five-star hotels. You got to do some meet and greets, shake some hands, kiss some babies. You have to embarrass yourself if you're a Democrat doing black outreach like Gavin Newsom, mac and cheese and Wonder Bread and b-ball. But beyond the basic humiliation, that's nothing new for a Democrat. You're going to run. What's that mean? It means this woman's going to run.
There are so many different corrupt sycophants.
Wrong button, this one.
And I will say it loud and proud because the DH secretary had a few choice words for me, but this looks like modern day slave patrols.
What position do you think Jasmine Crockett's going to take on the tranny stuff in the presidential primary? Do you think she's going to tiptoe? You think she's going to message it right and kind of massage her way into it? AOC, when she throws her hat in the ring. No intention of winning when she throws her hat in the ring and then raises $50 million, $100 million, $200 million. You think AOC is going to try to straddle that line? Or do you think AOC is going to go all in, no, pro-tranny all the time? Well, that's going to yank Gavin Newsom to the left because he can't be outdone by AOC. That's going to yank J.B. Pritzker to the left. That's a big, big, big problem for Democrats. And the second big problem, I mentioned there's going to be two of them, and this one may be just as big. Communists, Democrats, they're unbelievably programmable. They're generally herd animals anyway, not really individual thinkers. They want to be told what to think by The View and by Democrat political leaders and Hollywood, things like that. They're programmable people. We're on what? I mean, it's hard to tell with all the demonic insanity that followed it. We're on 10 years of tranny insanity in this country, Chris. Is that crazy? Am I crazy on that? Seems like about 10 years it's been. 10 years of propaganda. They're putting these freaking trannies in TV shows now. 10 years of propaganda. Men can become women. Women can become men. Just chop your penis off. I don't know that the average Democrat voter, the one who votes in primaries, I'm talking about the true hardcores, I don't know that you can deprogram them. I don't know that you walking that tightrope, I don't know that that's going to be good enough for the average Democrat voter now that they've been programmed to believe all this tranny disaster stuff. I don't think that's going to be good enough. What is good enough is Rashida Tlaib finally gets it.
We'll have our home again. What does that evoke in you when you see this? It literally, when I see it as a Muslima, as a Palestinian, as a child of immigrants, I see that this is something that is evoking, like, I'm not welcome here.
Yes. Yes. You're not. You and your buddy Sri Trandahar.
We will go to Bangkok Palace. Now there is a new Maharaja. And again, the palace has the power of the dark light. It is that place. Kill my people.
Scary stuff.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
BlackRock chief Larry Fink warns Davos, capitalism must evolve. Yeah, I still can't believe we're having to deal with Larry Fink and all these people. I still can't believe Larry Fink is sitting at the negotiating table with Trump people in Ukraine. What are we doing here? Markets on the edge as Trump threatens more tariffs on Europe over Greenland. In the end, they're just going to sell him Greenland. They are. And all this is going to be for naught. Jasmine Crockett polling craters as the U.S. nears the 2026 midterm elections. I'm not being mean. I'll keep saying it. Jasmine Crockett has the ability to be a dime, but she's got to lose 75 pounds. If she keeps putting on weight, it's going to crater her chances in the primary. It's not going to work. No one wants to vote for that. You got to lose some weight, Jasmine. Call me. We'll talk about fasting. I'll be back tomorrow. That's all.